Blog Talk Radio.
We acknowledge you, Father God. We acknowledge you as our Lord and our Savior. We acknowledge you as the King of the Kingdom. You are the Lord Sabaoth who fight our wars and win. We acknowledge you, Father God. We applaud you for everything you've done, God, and everything that you're going to do, God. We just worship you, God. We just always want to take our time to give you glory and give you reverence. You are the King of glory. Hallelujah. You are Jehovah Nisi. Hallelujah. We worship you, God. We worship you in the name of Jesus. We lift your name on high in the name of Jesus. We die that you might increase tonight, God. We die in the name of Jesus, God. We just clear the land in the name of Jesus, God. But we don't want anything to block our prayers, God. So therefore, we come repenting for all of our sins, God. We pray that you would blood wash us and make us whole, God. We pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would circumcise us tonight, God. That you would circumcise our hearts in the name of Jesus, God. That you would circumcise our ear gates, God. We just take dominion and authority over all dullness of heart, all dullness of hearing, God. We pray, God, that you would judge the hardness of heart in the name of Jesus, God. Make our hearts soft and pliable in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, rekaya shea, brakoya lalaria taya saya reke, rababaya shea lalaria daya saya. Create in us a clean heart, Lord Jesus, and renew the right spirit in us in the name of Jesus, God. We want to live upright and holy before you, God. We want to live a life pleasing unto you, God. So therefore, we submit unto you, Lord Jesus. We submit our lives unto you, God. We submit our bodies unto you, God. But that's the temple of the Holy Ghost, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Rekaya soya riataya. Rababayo soya riataya soya. Purge us with hyssop, God. And make us white as snow, God. In the name of Jesus. Oh, rakaya soya riataya. Rakoya babesaya. Baptize us with Holy Ghost and with fire, God. Burn away the drug, God. Burn away everything that's not like you, God. Burn away the bold, bad motives, God. Burn away everything that would be contrary to you in the name of Jesus. We pull down every stronghold. We come against everything that comes against our mind. Everything that comes against the knowledge of Christ. We pull it down right now in the name of Jesus. We break up all fallow ground in the name of Jesus, God. We act as a battering ram, and we break up all fallow ground in the name of Jesus. We clear the land, God, and we prepare the way for the King. We prepare the way for your glory. We prepare for you, Lord Jesus. We prepare in the name of Jesus. We prepare for your majesty. We prepare for your splendor, God. Come in and move in our lives, God. Move in our lives in a mighty way, God. We salute you, God. We roll up the red carpet for you, God. Oh, in the name of Jesus, God. Those with a clean hand and a pure heart, God. Oh, in the name of Jesus. We lift you on high, Father. We lift you on high, Lord Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy.
You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy, Father. We lift you up on high, Father, and we acknowledge you in all our ways. And we thank you, God, that you are directing our path. We want to welcome you to another broadcast. I'm excited about Kingdom Spiritual Strategies. Strategies for success, strategies for change, strategies to move to that next place in God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is an awesome God, and he lives inside of you. Amen, amen. Going to church is just not enough. We have to become the church. And when we become the church, we become a messenger of the kingdom of God. Amen. Glory to God. I want to thank you, and I want to welcome you. I want to ask you to get in the presence of change. Amen. Get in the presence of the Lord. Get in the presence so you can worship him, so that you can acknowledge him, so you can tell him thank you, because guess what? He woke you up this morning. It wasn't so much of what you did. It wasn't so much of who you are. It wasn't so much of what you have, but it was all about God has need of you. Amen. For this is a move. This is a move of God for your life. This is God saying, come on, there's no ordinary in you. I want to use you. And in order to use you, I want to equip you and I want to qualify you so you can serve me. It's not about us. It's all about him. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. There's no greater place to be than to be in the presence of the Lord, where there's peace, there's unity, and there's a oneness. Amen. I want you to give you an opportunity to get in his presence. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. There's nobody like you, Father. When you're able to tell the Father that there's nobody like you, Lord, when you're able to have that intimate relationship in his presence and you're able to talk to him and you're able to have that ear gate open where he can talk back to you, only then are you able to say, there's nobody like you, Lord.
Nobody like you.
Because God wanted to be God all by himself. He said, have no other God besides me. And when you can honestly tell God, I need you. I need you. It let him know that he is your superior being. You're telling him that I can't make it without you. You're telling him that I can't do it. I need you, Lord. So I want you to begin to tell him, there's nobody like you, Lord. nobody. You know, we have many loved ones. We have many friends. But there's nobody like the Lord. He's unchangeable. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He said, I'll always be there from the beginning to the end. When you could begin to tell him, there's nobody like you, Lord. When you can hold on to the promises, things change, situations change. But our Father, hallelujah, he changes not. His word is filled with promises that say he's going to provide. He's a deliverer. There's nobody like him. There's nobody like him. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's a presence, and there's a purpose in his presence. There's a purpose in his presence, because in his presence, hallelujah, is the fullness of joy. And on his right hand forevermore. So press into his presence. There's purpose for being there. Amen? So I encourage everyone today, go beyond your prayer life. Go beyond Bible class. Go beyond going to church. Go beyond that and get into that secret place, that place that's behind the veil. Place where there's a one-on-one conversation with the Father. And in that place, there's a better promise. See, God made us promises. But in that place, there's a better promise. And it's a promise that you're able to embrace the new covenant. Amen? A better place of promise. A better place of life. A better place of living. A better place of eternal life. Because when you can get to know him in the pardon of your sin, you understand that you're here to serve. You understand that you're here to give. Forgive. Amen. Hallelujah. But Father, we thank you right now for this time with you, God. Father, we ask you to be our big G. That we lean, we depend, and we trust you. For there's no one like you, Father. And Father, when we are going outside of your will, because we live in you and you live in us, God, we ask you in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would lead, guide, and direct us into that better place of purpose, that better promise of the new covenant. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that you are majestic in all your ways. And Father, we want to be like you. So we ask you in the name of Jesus to open up our ear gates, to open up our hearts, that we are enabled to receive your word. And having have heard the word, Lord God, that we are being made better. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. And we walk in your best. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when you get excited about Jesus, when you get excited about life, you get excited about change, you get excited about the new covenant, just getting excited and begin to look forward to what God is doing. Amen. Well, get your Bibles out, and if you'd be so kind to turn to Hebrews, chapter 8, hallelujah. chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. Glory to God. I give you a moment to find that, because I understand that you have been in the Word all week, and you can flip through the scriptures, and there's a blessing every single time you turn the page. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Let's make an affirmation. Let's make an affirmation and serve notice on the enemy. Serve notice on anyone, anything that's against our will and purpose in God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want you to repeat after me. Hold your Bible up, touch it, and relate to what your mouth is saying. For this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. Can do what it says I can do. And today, I will be taught the Word of God. And my heart boldly confess that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. And I will never be the same again. Listen, to receive the incorruptible Word of God. Say that to yourself. I'm about to receive the incorruptible Word of God in the name of Jesus. Listen, the Word of God is incorruptible, indestructible, and is ever living. It's alive. Amen. It's alive. The Word of God is not dead. And I say to you again, that we're dead men walking. Why do I say that? Because we're dead to our emotions. We're dead to the things that will get us off course. We're dead to those things, but we're alive in Christ. Amen. Because he lives through us. And when he lives through us, we are alive. But we're dead to the things of the world. That's all I'm saying. Amen. Say, I'm dead to the things of the world, but I'm alive in Christ. I'm well able to take the land. Amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you, when you let the Word of God become a living vessel in you, the enemy cannot destroy you. Not only can he not destroy you, but he'll begin to see the blood of Jesus on you. Not just on you per se, but on your name. Your name could be brought up and the enemy say, oh, whoop, the blood of Jesus. You could be mentioned. The enemy say, oh, I'm not going, because the blood of Jesus is going to be there. Listen, God has a promise that he made for us, and we have to begin to embrace it and walk in it. And just embrace it. I want you to just hug yourself and say, God's been good to me. Hug yourself. Don't be ashamed. If don't nobody else hug you, hug yourself and say, God has been good to me. Amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you, if you don't decree it, if you don't declare it, don't expect no one else to do it for you. Why is he good to us? Because he want to use us for his glory. And I talked about last week, from glory to glory. Amen. From glory to glory. From glory. Amen. I see my brothers coming. Hallelujah. Larry, hallelujah. I have my brother Derek here with me. Hallelujah. I am super grateful. My mom is here. My husband is here. We have great listeners on the line, and we have special guests in the house. I'm excited because I understand that it's when you can get into the presence of the Lord and you can see him moving, you can see him working, and you know that God is doing something in your life, that you're being made better. You got can't do nothing but give him the glory. Amen. I want to thank my son for being on the line. Glory to God. I love you, love you, love you. Amen, amen. Let us, I'm going to open up the lines for my son. He's chapter Hebrews. He's going to read Hebrews 8. And we're going to read verses 1 through 13. Glory to God. Amen. Tyrell, are you with us? You may have to unmute your line. Well, glory to God. I see him on the board. Amen. Maybe his line is muted out, but I'm going to go ahead and move forward. Hebrews chapter 8. Hallelujah. Verses 1 through 13. I know we're all there. And while I'm getting the scriptures up, I want to encourage you to have your communion ready, because we commune with God every single Sunday, because he said, as much as you do it in remembrance of me. Amen. I'm going to be reading to you from the NIV. Are you there, Tyrell? Amen, amen. Are you able to read the scripture for us? Well, hallelujah. I believe we have a bad connection, so we're going to go forward. Thank you so much, Tyrell. I don't know if it's a signal issue, but God is good. Guess what? I'm going to read it. And the Bible says in Hebrews 8, verses 1 through 13, the high priest, we're talking about the high priest, amen? Verse 1. Now, the main point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majestic in heaven and who served in the sanctuary. Hallelujah, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by a mere human being. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifice. And so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he was on earth, he will not be a priest, for there are already priests who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy, listen, a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. And this is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown on the mountain. In fact, the ministry Jesus has received is a superior to theirs as the covenant, of which he is the mediator. He is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would it have been sought for another. This is where my but God come from. But God find fault with the people and said, the day is coming, declare the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judea. Listen, the Lord of God and the Word of God is blessed. Let that sink into your Spirit. I know you want to keep reading, but I'm going to stop right there because we're going to begin, hallelujah, to break down what the better promises of the new covenant. Amen. So we understand that the Old Testament was the law. Under the law, amen. The new covenant, Jesus, came a better promise. A better promise. A better promise. Amen. I could read on and on because I'm telling you, I read to 8 and then I'm going to go on down to 13. Go ahead with 9. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers. On the day when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant. And so I showed no concern for them, declared the Lord. Listen, this is the Lord speaking. For this is the covenant that will make with the house of Israel after those days, declared the Lord. I will put my law into their minds and will write them on their heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor. Listen to that. And each one his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know him. I want you to get it. For the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their iniquity. God's going to be merciful toward their iniquities. And I will return, I will remember their sins no more. To me, I don't know about you.
He said, I will remember their sins no more.
Verse 13, in speaking of a new covenant, he'll make the first one obsolete. I want you to get it. See, now the word is in their heart. But the old covenant, it was on the tablet, right? And then it says, and what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Woo, hoo, hoo. Old things shall pass away and all things shall become new. Come on, somebody. Let's begin to walk in the newness. Let's begin to walk in a brighter day. Let's begin to walk in the supernatural. Let's begin to walk in a spiritual relationship with God. Let's toss religion. Let's toss tradition out the window. Let's embrace a spirituality. What is a spirituality? When it's a spiritual relationship, your spirit connects with God because he's a spirit. And the Bible says that we have to worship him in spirit. See, when your spirit tells you something, listen, that's God speaking. I mean, hold up. Unless it's another spirit. Because guess what? We already talked about how the types and shadow of the Old Testament. Types and shadow. It appears to be God. But God has a new covenant. See, the writer of Hebrew was being was emphasis on the superior being of the high priest. Who's the high priest? Who's the high priest? Come on, somebody. It's Jesus Christ. He's superior to all the old priests, to Moses, all the old kings. He's superior, superior being. Old things have passed away. And all things have become new. And because his priesthood, it predicts or predicates the priesthood that's set up in the Old Testament. Okay, in other words, the Old Testament priesthood is temporary. It's a temporary priesthood. And Jesus' priesthood is actually, it dates as far back as Abraham. And he continued with his many points to show us that superiority of Jesus Christ as the priest of our life, of our heart, of our thoughts, of our deeds, of our actions, is superior to the old. I'll say it again. Yesterday was yesterday. Today is today. So everything that happened yesterday is gone, is forgotten, is in the lake of fire. We're walking in the now, and we're walking in the tomorrow, and we're walking in the future. Amen. What do you see in your future? What do you see? What do you see in your tomorrow? See, the next stop is that of comparing the covenant that the priest meditated. Okay, we're talking about being able to walk in the spirit. In order to walk in the spirit, you got to let your spirit man speak. But what if your spirit man is starving? You know, when your physical body is starving, you can be so hungry, you don't feel like talking. You may not feel like being bothered. You may not feel like singing. You may not feel like walking. You may not feel like giving. You may not even feel like forgiving. But a spirit man is the exact same way. Come on, you got to build those spiritual muscles. We have to build our spiritual strength, our stamina. We can't go on the old. We can't go on the past. You know, mama now, daddy now, auntie now. We can't. It's not going to work. It's only going to take you so far. See, they led you to the water. They're not going to literally take your neck and say, come on, drink. No. You at the water. Come on. Let's drink. Let's drink. The divine covenant, what is it? What is the divine covenant? It's an agreement. I like to say it's a treaty. Treaty with God. It's a treaty that God made with man. He didn't just make it with man, but he made it with mankind. So women of God, you fit right in the category. See, when God say man, when God say son, God's talking about all humanity. But only way you can identify with that is knowing your identity in Christ. We're not even capable of knowing our identity in Christ, because we're all over the place worrying about the world. So the world calls us to be out of alignment with the covenant, with the treaty, the world's job, to get you so focused on what's happening in the world and this destruction over here and destruction over there, you get caught up with the problem, but you spend no time on the solution. Come on now, let's talk about it. I want you to sit at the table and begin to eat. I want you to sit at the table and begin to drink, because your spirit is thirsty. Amen. So God made this treaty with man. And then God said, you obey me. God said, if you obey me, I'll bless you. I mean, I don't know how much to break that down. I can't break it down any further. He said, if you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. He said, I give you that stuff that you're chasing. I'll give you health. I'll give you peace. I will make you a miracle. Why? Because I'm the high priest. I'm the big G. I'm the God of gods. Amen. I rule. I'm seated in heavenly places, and I rule from the heavens, and I literally have you like a puppet on a string. Don't you want to have a good relationship with the master? God said, you won't keep ignoring me. Why? Because I'm going to lead you to where you're trying to go. I'm not going to make you drink. You want to go to destruction? I'm going to let your will be done. Why? Because you won't let my will be done. Let my will be done in your spiritual life. That's what the Lord is saying. He said, you obey me, I'll bless you. Listen to this. See, basically, Ten Commandments, they were given as a standard just for a godly conduct, you know, to give you some parameters to go by. I'm going to guide you because I'm going to send my son, and he's going to release the Holy Spirit, and then you're going to be able to live in my spirit, and my spirit going to live in you. But right now, we're talking about the old covenant. He said, I'm going to give you some standard guidelines, some ways that's going to conduct you and keep you until my son comes. You know, it get greater and the day go by from glory to glory. So in the divine covenant, God, he decided these terms. We don't have to be all worried and upset if we know what his will is for our life. Only reason why we all discombobulate and all over the place, because we're so worried about the world. We're so worried about what's happening here and now. You know that song? Here and now. Woo, come on, what about today and what about tomorrow? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God always keeps his part of the covenant. God always is here for us. He won't change. And guess what? This is the part I like. He determined our destiny. Because destiny is real. It's real. Eternal life is real. So because man have not embraced who God is, and I'm not saying that you haven't, but I want to give you a few scriptures so we can all understand that God always will keep his part of the covenant. But because man hasn't allowed God to be the priest of his life, sacrifices had to be atoned for the failure of man. We're talking about the Old Testament now. So we had to be atoned, and we had to have sheep. They would bring the sheep and sacrifice the blood of the lamb. Amen. What is amazing to me is that God already knew about the covenant, and he knew that he was teaching man how to offer up his best. He was teaching man that it takes a sacrifice for God's hand to move. So what is the sacrifice? The sacrifice is we give up the world so that we can walk in the Spirit. God is not obligated to make a covenant with you if you are not willing to make a covenant with him. So the Lord placed himself under obligation to fulfill covenant to those that are willing and obedient. He said, if you obey me, he said, I'll bless you. If you keep my commandment, I'm going to hook you up. I got you. You know how they say, I got you. They got you as long as you got them. But God is a businessman. He said, if you obey me, I got you. Can you feel what I'm saying? Can your spirit and grasp what I'm saying? Amen. Glory to God. An example of the covenant. I want to talk about an example of God's covenant. I want you to turn to Genesis. Genesis 17, verses 1 through 10. Amen. God has a covenant. And when you get married, you make a covenant with your spouse. Amen. There's an agreement that you'll be faithful. There's an agreement through sickness and in health. There's a covenant. And God has a covenant relationship with us. Those that have made that decision that you're the air I breathe, Lord, that made that decision that I'm going to walk with you. Amen. You my ride or die. Amen. I'm going to take just a brief music break while you turn to the scripture. And I know most of you have it, but just like, let's take a short music break and I'll be right back. Amen. Victory belongs to Jesus. Stay with us. Amen. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. When you have old taste and see, you just cannot get enough. It's almost like the more the merrier. And that's when you know you're being transformed. That's when you know that you just want more of the word. And that's when you know that you're growing in Christ. When you have that old taste and see anointing, anytime a praise and worship come on, you ready. Anytime the word go forth, you want to hear. Anytime they're dancing for the Lord, you want to dance. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see he'll change your life. Oh, taste and see he'll change your love walk. He'll change it. And when you begin to walk in God's best, you just want more and more and more of him. More and more of this type of love. It's like my brother called a liquid love. You know, the type of love that's liquid and just saturate you. You know, can you imagine the love in a liquid form? And it's just saturating everything about you. See, love, it covers, and it hides a multitude of faults. The person can be dead wrong, but it don't take away your love for them. Talking about kingdom spiritual strategies so that you may win. When we begin to walk in love and peace and joy, we can embrace the covenant, the new covenant. Amen. Let me give you an example of the covenant. Genesis 17, verses 1 through 10. Amen. And the Bible says, and I hope everyone's with me, verses 1 through 10. Chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. And the Bible says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you, and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you, and ye shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come before you. And I will establish my covenant with before me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generation for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offsprings after you. And I will give to you and your offspring after you the land of your sojourning, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I'll be their God. Verse 9. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my commandment, you and your offspring, after you throughout their generation. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you, made every male among you be circumcised. And the word of God is blessed. Have God made a covenant with you? Have God visit you and made you an offer? Oh, yeah, you needed him, right? So you said what? Yes, Lord. Because you needed him, or you knew that you needed him. You knew that it was no way without him. So you said yes. I want you to remember that covenant. We're talking about a better promise. See, the covenant continued throughout the generations of God's people. God's people, it becomes so personal with you that every time you go the opposite way, won't he come back in your ear gate? I mean, won't he remind you through the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. See, Jesus said, I'm going to leave, but guess what? I'm going to send you a what? A comforter. And he said, I want you to really get the revelation. And the comforter is going to come. Not going to come in the world, but he's going to come and he's going to live in you. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. He said, I'm not going to live in an unclean temple. I can't live there if you don't give me room to live there. So we know that he's living inside of us. Amen. He lives inside of us. So we can't cheat on him because guess what? He's right there. And when God said, I will fulfill certain covenant obligations, see, it's the covenant that binds God to us. It's the covenant that connects us with him. When God said, I'll fulfill my covenant obligation and he's going to bind himself to us, he's talking about the treaty that he made. He's talking about the arrangements. He's talking about the negotiation. He's taking you back Do you remember the time when you made that covenant relationship with him? I want you to go there. I want you to turn the chapters of your heart. And I want you to turn the pages and go back right there. Because you're the one that he made that covenant with. And I want you to begin to embrace it. Because God is saying to you today, I want to bless you. I want to bless your children. I want to bless your children's children down to the third and fourth generation. I call you blessed. Why? Because I have a covenant with you. You represent me. And when people see you, they see me. Amen? And what I want to say to you today, embrace the new covenant that Jesus made with his people. You see, he made that covenant the night of the Passover on the eye of his crucifixion, on the final stage of the covenant. He made that with you. Do you see him on the cross? It was a pivotal moment. We didn't forget about it. All of his suffering, it was in vain if we don't walk in it daily. Great mediator, you know, the great mediator that sits on the right-hand side of the Father, that's asking him to forgive us day and night. Can you imagine what an assignment? We all messed up, acting crazy, but Jesus still saying, Father, see the blood. Forgive them. They know not what they do, and we dead wrong. He asking them to not to destroy us. And then here go old Satan. He over there trying to say, you know they forgot about that treaty. You know they lied. You reminding them. Reminding Jesus that we're not worthy. Reminding Jesus that we crucified him. Every time we fall short, we're crucifying Jesus afresh. But the great mediator haven't changed. He made a covenant relationship, and he has not changed. But he was sinless, but he bared our sins, and he continued to plead our case. Jesus is so superior, but he still said we're going to do greater work. Come on, think about it. In our sin, he's still saying we're going to do greater work. Can you imagine that little bad little child you got, and you see him doing some of everything, but you still decreeing over him, he's going to do greater work. He see us in our future. He see us as what's to come. The Bible tell us, speak those things, what we expect, not what we see right then, but what God, how God see us. So Jesus, all that in a bag of chips, but he's still saying, I see you in your spiritual clothes. Amen. See, John 17 talks about, John 17 verses 1 through 5. When Jesus spoke the words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son that the Son may glorify you. So since you have given him authority over all the flesh, he gave eternal life to all those who would give to him their life. You don't die. You go from glory to glory. Wouldn't you? Why would not you give up the sins of this temporal life for eternal life? I mean, from glory to glory, it get better It's like better made. You begin to live again. You leave this life for a greater life with greater promises. It feels good down here. It feels good. Yeah. But I tell you one thing. We're talking about from glory to glory. We sacrifice now for eternal life. See, glory on earth is nothing like glory. So I want you to read John 17, 1 through 5. Jesus is a superior being because his greater tabernacle. Amen. See, a minister, verse 2, and let me go ahead and expound on it so you can get the full picture, and then we're going to let you go. John 17, verses 1 through 5. I want to just kind of break that down, and then we're going to end the line. But I want you to know that when Jesus had spoke these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. He looked up to heaven, and he said, Father. Because, see, this was a personal relationship. When you can call him Father, when you shouldn't call him Father if he's not your daddy. Why should I call him Father? The Bible says, I'll be your daddy if you keep my commandments. Amen. But he said, Father, I'm ready. Time has come. The hour has come. Glorify your son, that your son may glorify you. All he was saying was, let them see you in me. Let them see you raise me back up. Show them that death has no power over you, God. That's all he was saying. And then in verse 2, he said, since you have given him authority over my flesh. So I'm on the cross. Now, they got me on the cross, Lord, and you gave them authority to put me on this cross. But since you've done that, you did that to give me eternal life to all whom you have given him. The Bible says, and this is eternal life, that they know you are the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. He has finished his course. He said, and now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world exists. That means he was with God before the world existed. And all God did was call him back unto himself. That's the same thing about us. He's going to call us back unto him. Did you? See, Jeremiah talked about he foreknew us before we went into our mother's womb. You are a strategic plan and don't know it. I serve notice on you today. You are a strategic plan. Walk in your greatness this time and make every sacrifice be a sacrifice for the finished works. It was not in vain. It's so that you can come back and say, but God, walk in a but God anointing. Forget about yourself. Forget all about you. And begin to serve as a mediator between God in heaven. What do you mean? When you serve people, they may not know that you actually serving God. It's not for them. It's for him. Because the Lord said that your labor of love will not go unnoticed and shall be rewarded. We're on a mission with a message. You shall be first because you're a servant. Amen. But we're still talking about a greater covenant by serving and understanding who you are. Man, I'm telling you, this is a great teaching to me because I like the part when he talked about that we was not going to teach because the word going to be in our heart. Is the word in your heart? When the word is in your heart, you won't sin against him. When it's in your heart, I can't do that. It's like, I can't go there. I can't say that. Why? Because the word is in your heart that you might not sin against the covenant. Begin to embrace that covenant. Because when you embrace the covenant, it's easier to walk in his will. You're beyond people. You're beyond haters. You're beyond jealousy. You're beyond that. But God will give you an eye to see it and discern it. It's there, but it's not there. Amen. You know how you see it and you're like, okay, and then now you don't even see it anymore. But God will let you know it's there. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll be able to laugh at the devil. You think he got you. And you right there and you really saying, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And when you walk in that type of anointing, that's when verse 12 come into play. God said, I'll be merciful toward their iniquity. They have mercy, and then you'll learn how to have mercy. God will give you a grace. Because you know why? Because you're walking in a divine covenant. You're being remade. Amen. You're walking in something new. So they laughing, they giggling, and you're walking beyond the clouds. Hallelujah. You're walking in a promise. The new covenant is found on greater promises. See, God promised to give us an anointing to forgive, an anointing to accept his people, an anointing to serve. I'm talking about when you serve, you build people. When you serve by building people, now you're building families. And then family build other families. What do you have there? Community. Let us build today by walking in a greater covenant, a greater relationship. Do you get it? I hope you do. And that's when the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's when greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's when you can walk circumspectly. And it's not about you. That they're able to see the God in you. And you don't have to talk about it. You just be about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Begin to embrace what God is doing. Begin to embrace his will for your life. Begin to say to yourself, he's my daddy. I'm like the prodigal son. I can come back to him. His face didn't change. He's still saying, come on, come on. You don't have to feel guilty because you're walking in a newness. Glory to God. We're talking about kingdom spiritual strategies. He didn't forget about you. And we're able to commune with him because of that. Can you imagine you done messed up, didn't pay your rent, didn't pay your phone bill? And God said, that's okay, come on. I got you. I got your bills paid. I knew you were coming. I expected it. I expected it. Amen. I got you. I got you. You thought you messed up and you said, I don't know what I'm going to do. But the Lord said, I got you. I already paid the price. I paid it so that you, I paid it so that you might become more like God. Yes. So that you may become more like Christ. Amen. How many want to be more like? And when you become more like him, when you get in his presence and you keep his covenant and you obey his laws and you walk in his grace and you understand that he'll lead, guide, and direct you. Now, we're about to take the Lord's Supper. And let me explain to you what it's all about. When he said, if you're not willing to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, if you're not willing to suffer with me, you can't reign with me. If you're not willing to be my ride or die, it won't work. If you're not willing to stand up for me in the midst of a people, I won't have no parts in you. Shame of me, I'll be ashamed of you. This is what this means. So I want you to lift up the body of our Lord and Savior. And I want you to see yourself broken. God wants us to be broken so he can make us whole again. God wants us to need him and know it. And if you feel that in your heart right now, you're right where he wants you to be. Broken. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. So, Father, we ask you to convert this natural element that it will be spiritual because you're a spirit. And we take the time to meditate and ask you to forgive us for anything we said or done or thought that was not pleasing. Let us forgive those that have despitefully used us. Let us forgive those that have hurt us. In the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you right now. Let us eat together and be made whole. The body of our Lord and Savior was broken. Let us break the body and let us eat to be whole. He said, as much as you do it in remembrance of me. Amen. Come on, let us digest the word. Let us digest it and have it hidden in our hearts that we might not see it. It's a spiritual covenant. Let us drink together the blood of our Lord and Savior. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us drink together. Drink and drink all of it. Hallelujah. It is by faith that we're whole. It is by faith that we're healed. It is by faith that we're little G's. It's by faith that God lives inside of us. He's seated in majesty. Don't you see him? See him. See him seated in majesty on the right-hand side of the Father. He's living in you. Treat him right so he can bless you. so you can bless your children, so you can bless your children's children down to the third and fourth generation. And it is so in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Let everybody say amen. Amen, amen, amen. I want to thank you for just tuning in once again. And know that there is nothing, nothing too hard for God. And all things are possible if you just believe. Glory to God. Again, I love you, Elder and I. We send the love of God to you. And we thank you for just walking in God's best, because he's living inside of you. Don't go nowhere he can't go. Amen. We say God bless everyone. If you like what we're doing, of course, we want to encourage you to sow into the ministry. We want you to keep us in your prayers as we walk up the King's Highway. Amen. God bless everyone. Have a blessed, supernatural rest of your day. There's nothing too hard for God. Spread your wings and fly.
I'm getting ready to share a little something with you. Lordy, hallelujah. I got something I want to say right here. I want two wings to veil my
feet.
I want
two wings
to veil
my
feet.
Cry out,
oh, 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 oh I got one question right here. I've got one question, and I believe I ask it right now. Will you meet me? Good God Almighty.
Well, blessed supernatural day. Bless everyone. God bless you.